You're listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ Under the Rainbow, looking out and looking forward, issues of concern and celebration for the GLBT community. We're replaying an interview from 2 years ago because of the grand dames of the lesbian community, Ruth Silver and Irene Weiss. Ruth just died at age 96 on July 6th. She lived to get married to her lesbian lover at age 95 here in Washington and in Port Townsend, actually, and also to see the Supreme Court decision. It occurred a week and 2 days before her death. So here they are, Irene Weiss and the late Ruth Silver. You're listening to 91.9 FM KPTZ Under the Rainbow. It is the show where we look at GLBT, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender concerns, as well as the help of our straight allies. And today I have the distinct honor and pleasure of interviewing Irene Weiss and Ruth Silver. They are grand dames of our lesbian community. Irene has now moved up here full-time. Welcome back, Irene, and welcome full-time.
Thank you.
And Ruth comes and goes. She is what we call a snowbird, but the amount of time we get with Ruth is worth every minute. Welcome, Ruth. So here's the important thing and the reason I've brought these two particular women in, listener. They are grand elders of our community. They've seen it all, they've been through it all, and they have certainly comments on everything that's happening. And their unique vision is something that I really learn from. They're pretty much the only two people who can out-interrupt me and who I listen to quite a bit. So, Irene, let's start with you. When did you know you were a lesbian? And tell us a little bit about your path.
Well, I think I had a pretty full realization that I was attracted to girlfriends at a very early age. By the time I was 12 or 13, I had finally read some books that told me who I was. I knew I was a lesbian by that age, actually.
And when did you first act on it and have your first relationship?
Oh, probably at 13.
And it wasn't that easy in those days.
No, it really wasn't, but surprisingly easier than you might think.
Because you could just sneak around and not come out.
Well, no one came out in those days, actually.
Yeah. So, that's in that sense, it was easier because you didn't have the public fight.
That's right. That's true. However, it wasn't necessarily easier because having feelings for women precluded a lot of feelings for boys. And at the age of 13, 14, 15, most girls are pretty aware of boys, but my awareness was elsewhere. And that is obvious to parents, I think, and perhaps to observers.
And how about your path, Ruthie? Where did you start in this world?
I think when I was born, the nurse came out and said, "Oh, what a lovely lesbian you have."
And what year was that, Ruthie? Let the listener hear the
that
year.
Was 1919, and I am now 94 and a half, and glad to be there. And if my marbles hold up, I'll be there for quite a while to come.
And you're already planning your 95th.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. And it's going to be quite a thing. It's quite wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, Irene, you made reference to things being quite different then. How do you see it for, let's take an adolescent girl who now realizes she's a lesbian. We'll start with Ruthie this time. How do you see the situation and the climate?
Are you questioning how I see it as opposed to the way it was when I was 15?
Yes.
I went to a resident camp for girls, and the swimming counselor was walking around with someone named Lily, and the craft counselor was walking around with another girl, and I thought, everybody is paired up. That's where I belong. And I really discovered at 15 that that was my life. And from that point forward, I spent from 15 to 30 in four major relationships with women. And the time was, as when you compare it, talking about sneaking around, we didn't sneak around. We simply had to be aware of what was happening at that time. They were doing lobotomies on women who said that they were, we were considered sick. And to be sick, you had to be cured. And there was always the time when people wanted to cure you. Now, that was when I was very young. And by the time I was 30, I had had four relationships and said, I don't know. I don't think this is going to work out for me. And my family said, you should get married now that you don't have a partner. So I got married and stayed in the wedlock for 39 years.
I like the expression, in the wedlock.
In the wedlock. I was locked in. And I had two children. And fortunately, I spawned a beautiful lesbian who is having a marvelous life. And she calls me every once in a while and says, Mom, how did I ever thanked you for making my life how wonderful that it is because of you. You helped make it. Anyhow, it's a long story. And the key pieces that I like to talk about are when I turned 70, my then partner and I were involved with wanting to build something for women who are old, and specifically lesbians. And we decided that instead of flying to the various places to talk with groups of women who are over 60, since Barbara MacDonald wrote her book called Look Me in the Eye, it was so impressive that we said there's something that has to be done for women lesbians who are in their 60s and over. And we embarked on a fantastic trip. And there's more of that to come if we go on later.
Well, that actually reminds me, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you both appear, your stories appear in a book called A Gift of Age, Old Lesbian Life Stories. I think you're both in that,
yes,
in
yes,
that book.
Yes, in the first edition.
And that is the first edition. And that can be acquired from a website, which I will give you in a few minutes, listener, because next I'm going over to Irene. Irene, what I really appreciate about you is you're a very nuanced thinker. And I loved when we were sitting in my living room talking about all the way that we have come, all the advances we have made, same-sex couple marriages and all of that. But you then had something to say that we need to be aware of, that for every step forward, there are things to watch out for. Can you say more about that?
Well, I'd like to say first, relative to your question to Ruthie, my life pattern was different. I never married. I didn't have children. I was a lesbian, and I loved being a lesbian. By the time I was in my late teens, I knew very clearly that that was my life pattern. And frankly, it was an outlaw status, and I loved being an outlaw.
You're a good rollicking outlaw.
Yes. I lived in New York for several years, and I can speak to what Ruth was saying about the persecution. I was present when many women were arrested in the bars and thrown into the jail in downtown New York. And if you didn't have three articles of female clothing on, you went to jail. I remember standing in the morning talking to the women who had been jailed the previous night as they hung out the windows of the jail down in the village.
I remember that women's jail in the village. I used to
really?
Walk by it. I used to wave.
We all waved every morning at everybody who had been picked up the night before. So I spent a life being reasonably out in terms of being a lesbian. And I'm very glad that I was, actually. I'm happy for that kind of life. Now, to talk about the rest of your question, I think what's happened today leaves me astounded every moment. The fact that actually lesbians were considered chic for a while, with magazine covers, celebrities proclaiming the fact that they were lesbians. And the latest, the same-sex marriage, just really blows my mind, because in my day there was never any the least thought that that could be possible. I think the possibilities for young women who see themselves as lesbians today are absolutely about 90% unlimited. That doesn't mean that there isn't some backlash. And as you say, there may be steps going backward. There are several places in this country that are still very backward about it. But we're always hopeful. And I have a feeling that in the next couple of years, it's going to be widespread throughout the country. Same-sex marriage and all the rest. However, I miss the outlaw status. I have to repeat that.
I saw old pictures of you as an outlaw, and you were a jaunty outlaw with a great hat.
Yes.
Ruthie has a white tux and a wonderful hat. These women style, listeners, and I'm your eyes, so I can tell you about it because you're the ears that are going to hear about the styling of these old lesbians who are mentors and models and true people that we really look up to. I did find the website where you can get the book that includes many other women's oral histories. It's called A Gift of Age, and you can get it from www.olohp.org, and that's Old Lesbian Oral History Project. And there are going to be many more of such books, because they're... Everybody does have a different path, and it was interesting hearing the contrasts just now with Ruthie and Irene. So what do you think, I'm going to ask each of you, and whoever wants to start can start, what's the most important thing that, let's not just talk about the GLBT community, let's talk about lesbians. What's the most, before I ask the question, I got to re-identify the station, I'm being told. You are on 91.9 FM KPTZ Under the Rainbow, and I'm interested in sort of mining the brains of these two women that we have here, Irene Weiss, Ruth Silver, old lesbians who I just sit at their feet, and I'm not as noisy as usual because I listen to them quite a bit. And so what are lesbians in particular now facing that we really need to be looking at?
Well, that's a tough question. I think, however, for those lesbians who want to be married, they're facing problems in the particular state that they live in, even though, thankfully, the federal government has acknowledged that they would treat married couples as married no matter what state they are living in, whether it's a state sanctioned marriage or not. But I think they're going to have some problems within the state. I expect there to be a lot of lawsuits in those cases. I think mostly families seem to accept it eventually, and I think that's a good sign. So, Ruthie, you have something to say about that?
I have something to say about the fact that we have never really designated what a family is. A family could be a child, two mothers, a child, two fathers, or whatever constitutes that group of people who choose to live their lives together and who love each other and who have kind, wonderful feelings for each other. One of the very important things that occurred to me was I was concerned primarily with lesbians over 60. And my then partner and I went around the United States interviewing and looking for women who wanted to be together and see what there was out there to be able to function in this life of ours as a 60-year-old who was not sitting in a wheelchair or sitting in a chair, rocking chair, waiting for their end to come. I'm going to be 95, and I'm not waiting for my end to come. This is a new beginning for me, and I'm ready for it.
You are. You just sprint way ahead of me, and you're years older than me, and I enjoy that. My comment that I'd like to add to my own question is that lesbians are women, and they have it worse than men, even gay men. I have an interesting contrast. Last year at this time, I interviewed Shelley Wright, the country music singer who came out. She and a partner have had a child since. Her career has taken many, many setbacks. This very weekend, I interviewed a man named Curtis from the movie Two, the story of Roman and Nero, and it's about two gay men. His husband is a music producer. They live in Nashville, Tennessee, which is on the surface a very conservative place, but they are finding far more acceptance than Shelley and her wife are finding. And I mean, their kids, Roman and Nero are their names, are fabulous and very articulate spokespeople. They're little boys. And I think many young women still suffer from the gender stereotypes and are not making the progress that men in our community are making. That said, it's still progress that we do have same-sex households, women heading the households and having children in all different ways. So what do you each want known about you in your lives by people who don't know you at all that are sitting here listening to this program? Give us – oh, I'm going to give a factoid about Ruthie while you two think about the factoids you want to give us. Ruthie was the yo-yo champion of the Bronx.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have touted it. Ruthie was the what year was it?
I was 10. It was 1929.
And I started calling her Yo Mama as soon as I heard that and bought her a yo-yo for her 90th birthday. Okay, let's get an Irene factoid.
Well, mine isn't quite so funny, but I'm very happy about the career I had as a head nurse and an administrator in nursing homes. And I think I was very active in changing the concept of nurses who work in nursing homes, because in the past they were really looked down upon by the medical community. And I also feel that I spent a great deal of time and energy changing that picture. And something else, I've spent a great deal of time in education in terms of lesbians. I was involved in my life in a project called the Califia Collective, in which we provided weekend and week-long programs for women in the woods, actually.
This was outside of L.A., right?
Oh, yes, around the L.A. community, northern and southern, mostly southern. And I think we had usually anywhere from 100 to 250 women at each event. And it was a dual learning process. We learned from the women, and the women learned from the collective. So I'm very proud of that in my life. Probably the best learning experience I've ever had.
Another factoid about the two of them is that they each had long and very, very successful and happy relationships with women, the first women in their lives that they were truly, deeply in love with. Both those women died each at different times, and each of them, oh my goodness, have another shot at it with the most incredible younger women who adore each their partner. So we have a Jean for a Ruthie, we have a Michelle for an Irene. Can you talk about having new relationships at this stage of your lives?
Well, it's wonderful because look at all the experience we've had on how to make a relationship work. So these really should be the best of our lives. And for me, this is certainly the best of my life, the last and the best. At 87, I can hardly believe it. It's miraculous. It's wonderful.
And listener, I approve of both of the women in their lives, and not that it matters, not that they asked me, but you may all want to just know that. And Ruthie, what would you like to say about...
I would like to say that it is mind-boggling to think that at age 84, I found a new life and a new love, and I am now together with her 10 years. And Irene was the one who worried as to whether she would really be a good partner for me because she hadn't been with many partners previously. And there I was off of a relationship of 15 years and into a new relationship at 84, which is 10 years now. And that's remarkable as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, who can break in these younger women better than you two? So,
it's a ray of hope for older women.
That's what I
know that this is possible.
I was going to say that for both gay and straight women,
everyone.
Women and men alike, it is truly never too late. I mean, because, you know, we mutter to each other, my partner and I have tried to find her my replacement when the time comes. She doesn't think that's such a great idea.
I think that's going beyond the pale.
But she does say she doesn't think she would ever want to do it again. And I always point to Ruthie and Irene and say, never too late. Just get rid of my ashes and move on. Anyway, that I don't want to end on that note. I'd like to end on the note of one bit of wisdom, a one-sentence bit of wisdom each of you want to give to the listener.
Simply be open to who other people are, no matter how different they are. You have to keep an open mind, listen, know what's going on with someone else.
Not only listen, but to be a partner to someone else, we have to consider who they are, which is different from who I am. We are never the same people, and we have to understand the differences and accept them for who they are.
Thank you, Ruth Silver, Irene Weiss. It has really been a pleasure to be with you in this edition of Under the Rainbow. I'd like to thank our very special engineer, Mike Schlexer, Larry Stein, our program director, Nora Petrich, our station manager, Peter Guerrero, my co-producer and the co-founder of Under the Rainbow. Till next time, go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can. Thank you. What you just heard was the extraordinary interview from 2 years ago of the late Ruth Silver, who died July 6th of this year at age 96, and Irene Weiss, her 89-year-old cohort, both of them finding love late in life, and one of them, Ruth, marrying her lesbian lover at age 95. This is Marcia Pearlstein, your friendly neighborhood interviewer for Under the Rainbow. I'd like to thank Mike Schlexer, our editor and engineer, Larry Stein, our program director, and Nora Petrich, our station manager. Go gently. If you can't go gently, go as gently as you can.